Manuscript Releases, Volume 8, Numbers 526 to 663. MR Number 611, George I, Butler. I do not wish the letters that I have sent to you should be used in a way that you will take it for granted that your ideas are all correct and Dr. E.J. Wagoner's and Elder A.T. Jones's are all wrong. I think you are too sharp. And then when this is followed by a pamphlet published of your own views, be assured I cannot feel that you are just right at this point to do this, unless you give the same liberty to Dr. Wagoner. I want to see no Pharisaism among us. The matter now has been brought fully before the people by yourself, as well as Dr. Wagoner, that it must be met fairly and squarely in open discussion. I see no other way. And if this cannot be done without a spirit of Pharisaism, then let us stop publishing these matters and learn more fully lessons in the school of Christ. I believe now that nothing can be done but open discussion. You circulated your pamphlet. Now it is only fair that Dr. Wagoner should have just as fair a chance as you have had. I think the whole thing is not in God's order. But brethren, we must have no unfairness. Because I came from the Pacific coast, they would have it that I had been influenced by W.C. White, Dr. Wagoner, and Jones. During this severe attack of sickness, experienced in Oakland, California, in 1888, I had vividly brought to my remembrance the experience I passed through when my husband was dying. I prayed with him in my great feebleness on that occasion. I sat by his side with his hand in mine, until he fell asleep in Jesus. The solemn vows I there made to stand at my post of duty were deeply impressed upon my mind. Vows to disappoint the enemy, to bear a constant, earnest appeal to my brethren of the cruelty of their jealousies and evil surmisings which were leavening the churches. I would appeal to them to love one another, to keep their hearts tender by the remembrance of the love of Jesus exercised toward them, in what he did for them. And he said, "Love one another as I have loved you." John 15, verse 12. I never can express with pen or voice the work that I discerned was laid out before me on that occasion when I was beside my dying husband. I have not lost the deep views of my work, as I sat by the bed of my husband with his dying hand in mind. You have turned from plain light because you were afraid that the law question in Galatians would have to be accepted. As to the law in Galatians, I have no burden and never have had. The brethren at Minneapolis had all the evidence they would ever have that words of truth were spoken in regard to the righteousness of Christ. I knew that if they had distinguished the voice of the true shepherd, if they had opened their hearts to receive the light, such speeches would never be made to create sympathy and leave the impression upon the congregation that we were at variance and at enmity one with the other. Had my efforts which I made before some of the prominent men in responsible positions done any good? Certainly my labors seemed to be vain. There was a spirit upon our brethren that I never met in them before. False statements and surmisings were current, but no one came to me to ask if there were any truth in these things. I was in their midst. I would have talked freely with any of them and have enlightened their minds if they had any desire to be enlightened. 24, 1888, pages 20, 21. Looking back at Minneapolis, circa November or December, 1888. I thought I would make one more appeal to you. Elder W.W. Prescott confessed that he had not taken the course he should have taken in Battle Creek. He went far back to Minneapolis and acknowledged he did not have the true discernment there, and since that time he had not said much. But he had talked with Elder Uriah Smith, and with a few others. He made thorough work. Elder Smith stated that the testimony in the Extra, Review and Herald Extra, December 23, 1890, was meant for him. He accepted it as a reproof to him. A call was made for all who desired to seek the Lord earnestly to come forward. All the seats in the center of the body of the house were soon filled, as people came from the gallery and the vestries, which had to be opened to accommodate the people. Professor Prescott linked his arm in Elder Smith's, and they identified themselves as seeking the Lord most earnestly. The whole congregation was on the move, and they, the ministers leading out in the meeting held in Battle Creek in December 1890, had to tell them to be seated just where they were. Tuesday night, a great burden came on me. I could not sleep. Elder Smith was before me, and my supplications went up to heaven in his behalf all night. I was in a spirit of agony, of wrestling with God, and great hope took possession of my soul for him. He is one of our old hands, one of our reliable men, and the Lord will give him his keeping power. What a change was in the meeting! The atmosphere seemed to be cleansed. Light was coming in to take the place of uncertainty and confused ideas. They do not know when it is for the interests of the institution to act nobly. 43A, 1901, page 7. Talk of Mrs. E. G. White before representative. Brethren in the College Library, April 1, 1901. Released March 17, 1978.